Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, and it'll be very familiar to you. I think of it as the wedding scriptures. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
I am always truly amazed how somehow God works together with those who are preparing things for a service. They all click together, despite the fact we've never talked to each other about it. And I think you'll find, as I go through my little talk this morning, that the children's time and the hymns have all fit. In our lifetime, we face periods when our faith is tested, when situations seem hopeless, and even when love faces a challenge. In the past few months, our eldest son, Keith, and his wife, Andrea, have had a few small challenges when such has been the case. It's amazing how you think you know your children, and you find out when situations like these arise, how much your children have changed, how mature they have become, and how they handle life situations. As you know, Andrea's mother was diagnosed with brain cancer back in July. Then Andrea fell a couple of weeks ago and smashed her ankle, bad enough to require surgery and a non-weight-bearing, a non-driving cast for 6 to 8 weeks. Marge, Andrea's mom, passed away last Saturday. So I was sitting early that morning talking with my son about this, about the broken ankle, and I discovered he has more faith than me, or at least a stronger faith. I asked him if he ever asked God why, if his faith had been a little shaken when faced with these challenges. His answer was one of those occasions when the child teaches the parent. No, he said, Mom, life happens. And no one, including God, ever told us it would be a smooth journey. I then asked him if he ever felt a little hopeless at the situation, wondering how is he going to cope with driving his sons to various activities, his wife to various medical appointments, the meals, the cleaning, finding time to work on the course he's taking for his master's, not to mention planning for and teaching his classes. His answer again was no. Overwhelmed, maybe, he said, but hopeless, no. He said he knew that people who loved and cared about his family would step up to the plate, guided by God's hand. He was right. Friends, neighbors, his church, Foothills Alliance, and his family have all come forward with help. I said to him, "Wow, Keith, your faith and hope are stronger than mine." And he looked at me kind of funny, and he said, "Mom, you taught me and Laura and Derek that no matter what trials were sent our way, God would always send us the strength to deal with it." I honestly didn't realize he'd listen to that little lesson. I knew love was never in question. His love for his wife, for his kids, for us, his students, and I knew that the love others had for him and his family would be there. This got me thinking about the three Christian virtues: faith, hope, and love. And so I did what I always do, I researched. One of the biblical references to these virtues comes from Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, which Vicki just read, where in 1 Corinthians 13:13 he says, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love." I wondered what was behind this letter, and this is what I discovered. In 50 AD, Corinth was one of the most important commercial cities of the time. It controlled much of the shipping between the East and the West. But it was also a city heavily steeped in Greek culture, including idolatry and immorality. After preaching in the synagogues and getting thrown out, Paul established the Christian church in Corinth. After he left to preach the Christian doctrine elsewhere, he received disturbing reports that the church in Corinth was having problems with immorality and with division. The Greek culture was affecting the religious beliefs of the newly established church. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth while he was ministering in Ephesus. He wrote to try and correct some practical and doctrinal problems that they were facing. It is in this letter, which became 1 Corinthians, we find Paul emphasizing to the Corinthians the very heart of Christianity, which is found in 13:13. "And now these remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." In one of the articles I read, the author stated that Paul was telling the Corinthians that when all else was stripped away, he wanted to find that the church excelled in these three areas: faith, hope, and love. But Corinthians isn't the only place we find reference to this threefold combination. We also find references in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 3, and in chapter 5, verse 8, in Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6, in Hebrews 6, verses 10 to 12, and in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Reverend David Kennedy refers to these virtues as kind of an ABC for Christian living. He points out that in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says that in his prayers, he remembers the Thessalonians' work of faith, steadfastness of hope, and labors of love. The first virtue, faith, features a lot in Paul's writings. In his letters to Galatians 2, 8 and 9, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God." It seems to me that in order to receive the gift of faith, we simply have to ask God for it. And then, and this is probably the tough part, we need to believe that we have received it. Faith is the key to living a Christian life. I found this story, which I believe illustrates the point very well. What I could not seem to locate was the source of this story. There once was a Scotsman whose work was to row people across a river. On one of his oars, he had carved the word faith, and on the other, works. One day, as he was rowing, one of the passengers noticed the carvings on the oars and asked the man about them. The Scotsman didn't reply, but rather pulled the oar marked works out of the water and started to row with only the faith oar. The boat began to go in circles, going nowhere. He put the works oar back in the water and pulled out the faith oar. And again, when he rowed, the boat went in circles, although in the opposite direction, and went nowhere. Again, he said nothing but put faith back in the water and proceeded to row to shore. Before the passenger left the boat, the Scotsman said, "A Christian must row his life using both oars, faith and works. Only then can the shores of heaven be reached." In James 2:26, we read, "Faith without works is dead. True faith influences the heart and life so that we obey God and serve others." Reverend David Kennedy states, "One thing is certain, faith is a basic and necessary quality of the true believer. True faith is not only belief and trust, but also faithfulness and loyalty. True faith is a whole soul commitment to God." According to my research, hope is very difficult to separate from faith because they are intrinsically linked. The following passage from Romans makes it clear that faith is the key that opens up God's promises, but hope is the tool by which we hold on to them. From Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." When hope is grounded in God, it will provide the motivation to live a Christian life when facing challenges in times of trouble, when enduring hardships. Sometimes life just stinks. We feel frustrated, discouraged, hopeless. At times like these, we need to remember that Christ didn't just come to us as a babe in a manger. He came as the hope of the world. And he promised to give us strength and hope if we remained focused on him. I have always believed, and some of you have heard me say this, that God doesn't send trouble without sending the strength to deal with it. My son had to remind me that I taught him that. But we are human, and sometimes we focus so much on the troubles, we fail to access the hope and the strength that God sends us. So how do we define hope? According to the Reverend Ray Alice, hope is faith in action. Hope is what gets you through the night when it seems the darkness is all-encompassing. Hope is the belief that you are not permanently in the dark, not hemmed in with no way out. Surrendering to God's will gives us hope. In Jeremiah 29:11, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Hope points us forward. And the greatest of these is love. We are told in the Bible, from Matthew 22:37 to 39, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. This for me is the easy part. It's the second part that can prove a challenge. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Most times I've no trouble loving myself. It's the neighbor part that's tough. The Bible tells us to love one another, and the question is, can we do it? Reverend Rick Ezell, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Greer, South Carolina, says, and I quote, "Whoever said I love mankind, it's people I can't stand, was about right. People are just irritating." He goes on to say that he agrees with this little poem. To live above with those we love, oh how that will be glory. To live with those below with those we know. Now that's another story. He further stated in his article, How to Show Love and Respect to Others, that even people at church can be difficult to love. Sometimes we sing, I'm so glad you're part of the family of God. And then we look at someone and think, I'm surprised you are part of the family of God. Let's face it, sometimes it's even difficult to love both the immediate and extended members of our own family, let alone acquaintances who pass in and out of our lives. I remember reading somewhere, no idea where, but that thought has stuck in my mind about the guy who told his wife if she had really loved him, she never would have married him. The challenge we face is how do we let love be a dominating characteristic in our life? Love needs to be a priority because Corinthians 13:3 tells us, if I do not have love, I gain nothing. Jesus gave us the directive. This is not a gray area. He made love a priority over all other Christian virtues. And again, I quote from Reverend Ezell's article, every thought, response, and act of goodwill must first pass through the fine filter of love, or it means nothing. We need to understand the importance of love. John in his gospel in 13:3 and 4 tells us that Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. Paul in Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Simply put, if we love one another, we don't envy our neighbor's good fortunes. We don't lie to family, friends, co-workers. We won't gossip. We won't steal. We won't boast. In other words, we follow the commandments. Perhaps the Bible verse with which we are all familiar, again, is from Paul in Corinthians. And Vicki read it this morning for us. But I'm going to repeat it because I think it's so important. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And in verse 13, he writes, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." This kind of love makes a difference in ourselves, in our families, in our friends and neighbors, in our actions, in our world. The goal of a Christian is love, and we can measure that in our love for God and our love for others. Faith, hope, and love occur together. In Hebrews 10:22, we read, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in the assurance that faith brings." And in verse 24, "And let us hold unwavering to the hope that we confess, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy." And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works. Paul emphasizes that faith that produces hope is produced by faith working in love. Faith, hope, and love are prominent in the scriptures. Genuine faith, hope, and love are all real, and should be exercised in our Christian lives on a daily basis, so that we all, the faithful believers, may live in a joyous anticipation of a blessed eternity with God. Amen.